as we prepare our hearts to hear. And for this moment, as we sit under the ministry of the word, we pray, Father, that you'd speak to us. We pray that you'd reveal yourself to us today. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Cool. Great. Let's go to Luke chapter 19 from verse 1. Luke 19, verse 1. If you've got your Bible, let's read Luke 19, verse 1. This is a very popular scripture. We all know brother Zacchaeus, the one who was challenged in his height. Now the Bible says, and going in, he passed through Jericho. This is Jesus. He passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector. And he was rich. When the Bible says he was rich, it means he was rich. It means there was something about him that was worth mentioning. If you read further the story of Zacchaeus, you will understand why the Bible said, and he was rich. He was talking about how much he was going to pay back. That could only be done by somebody who was filthy rich. So the Bible says, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, to see who he was. And he could not because of the press, because he was little in stature. And he ran in front and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him. A sycamore tree was known to be very big, very tall. And so he was strategically positioned in that tree. He could see Jesus without any distractions. For he was to pass through that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him. And he said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for today I must stay at your house. For today I must stay at your house. Who was he talking to? A tax collector, a chief amongst sinners. And yet, he thought it worthwhile to go visit this sinner of the day. Now, today we are continuing with our series, Passion Rescue Reloaded. We've been talking about this, we've been on this series in the past 3 weeks. This is a series that is there to remind you and I of the need to remain vigilant as ambassadors of Jesus Christ. Hello, somebody. We need to be vigilant around the whole issue of being representatives of Jesus Christ. You know that we are not of this world, and therefore we represent the kingdom of heaven wherever we are. What it means that when I go to work, I introduce the kingdom of God in that environment. Wherever you are, you infuse the kingdom of God in the kingdom of darkness. The passion of Jesus concerning the dying world ought to be our marching orders as a church. Unfortunately, the church has moved away from the Great Commission. And I believe God is reminding us as God Church to say, do not forget the reason for being. The reason for the church to be the church, it is to reach the dying world for God. We need to have a paradigm shift. And I want you to just think about the way you've been living your life right now. Is the issue of reaching your friend for Jesus at the top of your priority list, or it's a by the way? And what I've come to realize is that what gets spoken about gets done. If we speak about reaching the lost, guess what? As you go through the week, you're reminded that actually I need to reach my friend. I need to remind him of the love of God. You realize that with our friends that we've been friends with for a long time, we've become so used to being with them that we don't even think that they need Jesus. We've become so used to be around them, even our own relatives around in our houses. The people that help us in our homes, we do not think that they need Jesus. That is why Passion Rescue is happening, to remind you and I. We cannot afford to lose focus of the goal. One of the things that I've realized is that when all is well in a man's life, we tend to pursue our pleasures. When money is flowing, We tend to want to spend the money we go on holidays. That is why I've seen in a lot of churches, at the end of the month, you find that numbers drop. The last Sunday of the month, numbers drop. Why? Because people have got money, they go on holiday, or they feel excited about spending what they have. That is what happens when everything is going well for us. We plan our holidays. We are fixated with what we're going to do with what we have. And we forget, in that moment, God is waiting on me. God is waiting on me. And then the economy swings onto the other side. We're now in a drought season. Guess what? We are all fixated with, what am I going to do to meet my daily bills? What am I going to do to feed my family? So all of a sudden, you might never have an opportunity to actually reach somebody as long as you read the circumstances around you. There's never a good time to reach somebody for Jesus because there's always something better to do. If you think about it, there's always something better to occupy us. Now, as a church, our vision around Passion Rescue is this: reaching the unchurched everywhere, anyhow, and turning them into disciples of Jesus Christ. And we're talking about reaching every unchurched person. Do you see unchurched people in your spheres of influence? Do you see people who don't know Jesus? That is what God is calling us to do, to reach them for Jesus and to turn them into disciples of Jesus Christ. Do you know that we do not have to wait until somebody has said yes to Jesus to start culturing them or discipling them in the ways of the Lord? You actually need to start creating an environment that will make people open to the gospel by talking about God more and more and more in your work environment. Tomorrow we are going back to work. And people will be telling you what they were doing during the weekend. They'll tell you, I spent the weekend doing this and this. Okay, maybe because we're being closed in, there won't be much that they will share with you. But how many times are we comfortable to tell people what you are doing during the weekend? Maybe you went for an outreach. Maybe you went for a marriage seminar. You went to church. How comfortable are we to tell people about our daily routine in the Lord? We're not very comfortable. But we need to actually start discipling people before they cross the bloodline, where they actually see that it's normal to be a Christian. Because people think that being a Christian is not very normal. Now, this morning I want to talk to you on the subject matter, stop chasing the wind. Stop chasing the wind. What have you been pursuing this whole year? Or for the past 3 years, what has been fixating you? What has consumed your heart? Generally speaking, man is always after the next big thing. We are always after the next comfort. We are always after the next big thing. That is why even when you look at the way certain products are being structured, if you think about your cell phone contract is structured to be paid out in 24 months, and after 24 months, the new S20 is there, and therefore get the new contract, get the new phone, get the new gadget. In my house, I've got 2 good phones. I've got an iPhone that is still very good. I've got an S7 that is still very good, but I moved on to a new phone. Why? Because when my contract was over, it was so itchy for me to get the new phone. If you think about it, some of your phones don't need to be changed. Yes, you have exhausted your 24 months, you have paid it up, but you really don't have to change it. But they advertise the new S20. They advertise the latest gadget. We go for it. And we think that when I get that new phone, something different will happen in my life. I remember when my contract was up, I said, you know what, I'm going to move from Samsung, I'll move to LG. Okay? Somebody like, you got an LG phone? Yes, I've got an LG phone, and it works just fine. It works like my S8 that I had. It works like any other phone. The issue is we want the next big thing, don't we? Let's think about our vehicles. If you look at the way our vehicle deals are being structured currently, you'd find that they're saying, how much do you afford? and you say, I can afford only 3,000 rand, but I wanted 3 series BMW. They say, don't worry, we'll structure a deal for you. We can give you a deal for with residual value, which means you'll never get to own a vehicle. And every 3 years, they phone you, ma'am, there's a new 3 series on the market. Just trade in your old one. It's 3 years already. So they're structuring deals so that we can always get onto the next new thing. And if we are not careful, we'll always chase after the wind. We'll always chase after our tails, and that is why we don't get satisfied. This morning, I want you to realize that it doesn't matter how much stuff you accumulate, you might never get your hungers satisfied. Those of you who have done economics, you know the law of diminishing returns. The law of diminishing returns talks about that you can add more and more of the same product, but there is coming a point where your satisfaction won't change. You will not be satisfied. No matter how many more cars you get, you will not get satisfied. At some point, nothing will change. You can get as many friends as you want, but you will not be satisfied. The Bible tells us that Zacchaeus was a rich man. He was so rich, and yet there was something missing in his life. He was so rich, and yet there was something missing in his life. Verse 1 says, and going in, he passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. And this morning, you might be a Zacchaeus in some form or another, where you are so rich in certain respects, but there is still a craving for something else in your life. You are so rich relationally, and yet there is still a craving for something else in your life. One would think that being a rich man, there would be nothing that this man lacked. On the outside, Zacchaeus looked sorted. Everybody envied Zacchaeus. They would say, look at this man. He has everything that he needs. You know that kind of a thing where you see there's a new vehicle on the market, you just read it in the paper or an advert, and then you walk around the corner, somebody else is driving it already. Like, already this guy has got the new vehicle. It happens like that. There are people who are on the lookout for something new. Recently, Mercedes-Benz brought out a Bucky. You know the Bucky, the Mercedes-Benz? I don't know what they call it. This Mercedes-Benz Bucky was going for over $1 million. And everybody was going for it. People were trading in their vehicles and they're getting the Mercedes-Benz Bucky. And I remember going to my daughter's school and I see already somebody's driving the Mac. I'm like, this guy is driving a house. If you are driving a vehicle that is over $1 million, you're driving a house, if you think about it in those terms. And then a year after the vehicle came out on the market, Mack stopped producing the Bucky. They said, it's not working for us. And there we are, we're driving a Bucky that is out of the market. Can you imagine if your value system was attached to that Mack? People look at you driving that star and they thought, you're driving a problem now. Though they say they still support the Mercedes-Benz, but it gives you a different feeling when you know this Bucky, there's nothing else, there's no upgrade to this vehicle. So if our value systems are so attached to material things, our lives and emotions are like a yo-yo. You are up today because you're driving a brand new car, but somebody else will drive a better car tomorrow, what are you going to do? The question is, what do we need to do for our cravings to be satisfied? Now, many people who look full on the outside are actually empty on the inside. People who look happy on the outside are empty on the inside because we have learned how to manage impressions. We have learned how to say all the right things, so that we project a certain personality. We want people to know us in a certain way. That is why we do certain things. That is why we cannot wear no brand clothes. Hello, somebody. I don't know if you are you comfortable with wearing jeans that have no brand. This one is not branded, actually. But when you look at somebody who is wearing a branded jean and a non-branded jean, there's not much of a difference. It's about our value system, if you think about it. Sometimes you go into Woolies and you're buying just a name in terms of certain products. You go down the road into Pep, you see exactly the same product and the prices are chicken shows. What is the issue here? We are attached to a brand. We are looking for something to meet our satisfaction. And there was Zacchaeus. I'm sure if he was living in our days, he had everything he needed. Double-story house, secure complex, kids going to a private school, three cars, there's a yacht in the garage. He had everything that he needed, but there was something missing. And right now, I want to ask you, what has been your pursuit? What have you been pursuing all along? Many people who look full on the outside, they are actually empty on the inside. There is a pursuit for happiness and fulfillment in every person. We've been made to believe if I just get more and more, something will change inside of me. You remember when you were a kid, you used to cry out for the next game that was on the market. You thought if I can get that SP game, everything will be great. You get it, you play with it for 3 weeks, you dump it. I see it with my kids. A few days ago, we went into a toy shop. I bought Andrew a toy. He liked it in the shop. It's one of these remote control toys. We got home, he put it down, played it one or two times. Like, Daddy, I actually don't like this toy. Daddy, I don't like this toy. Can we go back and replace it? Being a good dad, I said, okay, let's go and try if we can take it back. Unfortunately, when he unwrapped the toy, he broke the package. So the package was torn. You know, he was excited to get to the toy. We went back to Toy Zone and they said to me, sorry, if the package was still intact, we would have taken the toy back. And he was there sulking. There's nothing I can do. What is the issue? That is what happens in our lives. We get that one more thing, and within a day, we feel flat again. This happens to a lot of us. Now, as adults, we think that the bigger the thing that we have, the more satisfied we can become. When you look at the Bible, it talks about when we pursue wealth, when we pursue fame, when we pursue money, the love of money is the root of all evil. It's not the money itself. It is the love of money which is the root of all evil. There's nothing wrong with money, but it is the passion that drives us. It's when you say the end justifies the means. It's when we say, as long as I get what I want, it doesn't matter how I get it. As long as I lay hold of it, and then we start cutting corners. Now, I want you to realize this, put this down. God never designed humanity to find satisfaction in earthly possessions. That was never the design of God. It was never the design of God for you and I to find ultimate satisfaction in earthly possessions. When you read in 1 Timothy chapter 6, I don't have it up on the slides, but from verse 1 going down, Paul was telling Timothy that do not be fixated by getting stuff. You came into this world empty and you'll go back without. Whatever you accumulate here on earth, it will remain here. But whatever we say, God, I want to invest into eternity, that wealth you can take with. Glory be to God. So this morning, I want you to be very truthful to yourself and say, what has been driving me? What am I pursuing? The reason why I'm doing two jobs at the same time, is it really because the one job is not meeting my needs, or it is because the second job enables me to do one more holiday trip? Hello, somebody. When you take on a second job, you're taking time away from your family. Very, very important for us to view life that way. Now, Zacchaeus, having chased after the wealth, the more he gained by swindling people out of their tax money, the more he became empty inside of him. And then all of a sudden he started asking himself, what else is there for me to get? He heard about Jesus, the Son of the living God. The Bible says in verse 3, and he sought to see Jesus, to see who he was. He sought to see Jesus. When you look at that word to sought, it's about seeking. He was seeking to understand the person of Jesus Christ, because he had tried everything else. He had what he needed on this life, and yet things were not really coming together. He heard about Jesus Christ and he sought after him. He was searching to understand who Jesus was. Perhaps, maybe, this hole that I have inside of me will be fulfilled. And saints, this is what is happening to somebody who does not know Jesus. They are continuing searching for that thing to be satisfied in their lives, but without Jesus, they will never get it satisfied. In every person, there's a God-sized hole that can only be filled by God. There's a place in your heart that belongs to God. As long as God is not in that place, you keep on searching. You keep on looking until you become like Zacchaeus, who said, you know what? Forget about all of this here. I have heard of a man who speaks of something different, and I want to know more about him. I want to know about this Jesus. And the Bible says he wanted to see Jesus. And this morning, is there a craving in your heart that says, I want to know Jesus more? It doesn't matter how long you've been in the Lord for. Maybe 10 years, 5 years, 3 years. But is there a hunger in your heart that says, I want to know Jesus more? I want to experience Jesus. Are you like Paul who says, I want to know him. I want to fellowship with him. I want to know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, that I might know Jesus. That I might be at peace in the middle of a storm, because I have gotten to know Jesus. I have come to realize that in my moments of storms, in my moment of turmoil, when I spend more time in the presence of Jesus, there is a calm and a shalom that comes upon my life just being in the presence of the Most High God. This morning, I want to ask you, what has been on the heart, on your heart for God? We can settle and say, I've been around, I know what it means to be a child of God. But you can see, I want to dig deeper in God right now. In this moment where everybody is panicking, you see, you can go onto the news channel and you can see the level of panic in the world. And if we are not careful, we get caught up in that. We can only be safe if we are found in the presence of Jesus. And Zacchaeus understood that, and he said to himself, it doesn't matter my circumstances. I might have projected to people that all is good with me, but right now is between me and this Jesus. I want to know him. Because he was known as a rich man, there were certain things that were not expected of him to do. I don't think people were actually chuffed when they saw him climbing up the tree. They looked at him in a mocking way and say, has he gone cuckoo in his mind? The man who's got so many chariots, so many servants in his house, he could send somebody up the sycamore tree. But Zacchaeus had come to that moment of desperation where he said to himself, whatever I need to do, I will do to meet Jesus. Glory be to God. Are you at that point where you say to yourself, whatever I need to do, I will do it for me to encounter the glory? I will do whatever I need to do to hear his voice one more time. I will do whatever it takes for me to hear him speaking to my life. Are we living in the past where we say, when I used to hear the voice of God, he used to speak to me intimately. He used to whisper to me. I could hear what was on the heart of God. When I was young, I used to dream prophetic dreams. He used to speak to me in my dreams. But what is happening today? Somebody needs to have this holy anger that say to themselves, it cannot be business as usual. Lord, speak to me as you used to. Take me to another dimension for me to know what you're saying to me. I have this thing in my heart after my praying time, and I don't sense anything. I don't hear anything. I keep on asking. I keep on asking, Lord, I want to know what's on your heart for me. I want to know what's on your heart for my family right now. I remember yesterday we had time of prayer with my wife in the mornings. But when I left that time of prayer, I was still saying, Lord, what are you saying to me? Lord, what are you saying to me right now in this season? And I remembered around 1 p.m. in the afternoon, I was cleaning the garage. And boom, the Lord started speaking to me. He dropped things in my heart. And I went to my study. I wrote down 1.5 pages of what God was saying to me. And I read it again. I'm like, Lord, thank you for speaking to me. Why did he speak? It is because when I left my time of prayer, I felt I had not reached it. I wanted to hear him. And because my spirit man was open to hear, he dropped word in my heart. It is a word that I know it's for me, it's not for the church. And you'll not hear me preaching that word. It was for me for that season. When your heart is open to hear God, he will speak. When your heart is pursuing the presence of God, he will show himself to you. Glory be to God. When there's drought in your spirit, man, and you're saying, it has been dry, Lord, for a long time, I'm going to go on a fast because I just want your presence. You know what? God will come through and he will reveal himself to you. Many times we fast because we want natural things. We fast because we want a breakthrough in a certain area. There's nothing wrong with that. But would you fast because you just want the presence of Jesus? Zacchaeus was done with pretense. Zacchaeus was done with playing church. And he said, I will do what I need to do. He climbed the tree. Today, I wish somebody would say to themselves, I will climb the tree. I will do, even if it is embarrassing to myself, I will kneel down in a time of worship. Sometimes we are too dignified when we worship God. We cannot lay down flat, prostrate before God and say, Lord, I lay down my life before you. All I want is to know you, that I might know him. That should be the craving of the church right now, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection. Lord, I want to experience your power. Because your word says, and you shall receive power after which the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Glory be to God. And you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the world. You will be a witness if you are a witness to the power of Jesus. When you encounter God by yourself in your own closet, then you can walk out and become a witness of Jesus because you know him. Zacchaeus was curious. He wanted to know more about Jesus. How curious are you about the treasures in the heart of God? How inquisitive are you when it comes to revelation? As a child of God, you can grow cold towards God. You can become so religious that yes, you read the word, but the word does not change your situation. But right now, God is calling the church to a place where he says, stop chasing after the wind. Chase after Jesus. Chase after his presence. When you find Jesus, you find everything else that you need. Glory be to God. When the church finds Jesus, Jesus will stir up things in our hearts. We will start doing things that we never thought we would do when by ourselves. You see, he was so curious. And God used that curiosity to bring salvation into the life of Zacchaeus and his family. God can use your fears right now to bring revival in your life. God can bring your anxieties right now to bring revival in your walk with him. Because your fears will take you into the presence of God. Because you run to him. When you run to him, you meet him there. Glory be to God. You say, Lord, I'm afraid right now. I don't know what to do. You know the story? Where Jehoshaphat was facing three armies. Three armies were coming to attack the Israelites. And the Bible tells us that Jehoshaphat was so afraid. And I want to speak to you right now. Maybe you're afraid of what's happening right now. And the reality is saying we should all be scared. When you look at what is happening, the rand has just broken through the 17 rand per dollar. And you're asking yourself, what's going to happen? And you're saying to yourself, Lord, I'm afraid. Every child of God who is afraid has to go to their God and express their fears and say, Lord, I'm afraid. I don't know how I'm going to do this. And when Jehoshaphat was so open with God, he declared a fast and says, everybody is going to fast. Because we are afraid, we don't know what we're going to do with these three armies facing us. And in that moment of fasting, God spoke. And he said to Jehoshaphat, do not be afraid, for this battle is not yours. The battle is the Lord's. Glory be to God. In that moment, I think his fears dropped. Because God spoke. When you go into the presence of God and you express your fears, God will speak. He says, the battle is the Lord's. Just stand and see the victory of the Lord in your life. Glory be to God. This is the story of the church, saints. Zacchaeus was tired of being, of putting the right foot forward. I have a problem with believers who always want to be in the right standing with us. I'm talking to you as a pastor. You're putting your best foot forward all the time. And yet we know there is so much going on underneath. We need to come to that place of being so desperate for the help of Jesus that we are vulnerable before his presence. Where we are able to express our fears, our deepest anxieties. Though he was a strong man on the outside, he got to a point where his strength outside could not help him. He needed God. Isaiah 40 verse 30. The Bible says, even youths, young people will grow tired and weary. Even young people will grow tired and weary. Right now, even the rich are growing tired because every time they look at the markets and they see the amount of money that they have lost, nobody is being spared. Even the rich are being tired right now. Young men stumble and fall. But those, glory be to God, that is the distinction. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. Other version says, but those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall run. They will soar like an eagle. They'll run without getting weary. It is time that every child of God needs to pursue the face of God. Glory be to God. True satisfaction can only be found when fellowship between man and his creator is restored. True satisfaction can only be found when fellowship between God and the creature has been restored. There is no better time than now to restore your fellowship with your Creator. There is no better time than now to restore fellowship with your Creator. That is why we need to go out there and share the gospel so that people who are in a panic mode, they can be settled in God. Where God says, be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. When Jesus is at the center of your life will be truly satisfied. Write this down if you're taking notes. Our satisfaction in Jesus comes from knowing that God alone is good and that he is all you need. In this season, you need to know and you need to be convinced that God is good. Glory be to God. You see, it's like a cliche. We say God is good all the times. And all the times, God is good. But is that a conviction that we live by? The Bible says godliness and contentment is great gain. Godliness and contentment is great gain. When you know that your God is a good God, you are satisfied. If we are not convinced absolutely that God is good, we can then jump from God to another God. You will seek satisfaction in money. And that is why sometimes when money is not really coming through into our accounts, it tends to dictate our attitude and our emotional state. But when God has been revealed himself as a good God in your life, it doesn't matter what's happening around you. Glory be to God. You are able to declare God is good. And this morning you need to be convinced that God is good. Let's look at a number of scriptures. Psalm 16, verse 2. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. I have no good apart from you. I have no good apart from you. When you are a child of God, you need to be convinced that you have no good apart from God. When you have God, you have good things in your life. Glory be to God. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. I have no good apart from you. He is a good God. And right now, it doesn't matter your storm you're going through, he remains good. When we are convinced by that, we are able to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And we will not worry. We will not be concerned. Why? Because God is good. That's all we need. Psalm 73 verse 25. Whom have I in heaven but you? And there's nothing on earth that I desire besides you. There's nothing on earth that I desire besides you. Another place, David says, as the deer pants for the waters, so my soul pants after you. So my soul craves after you. So my soul desires you, Lord. God is good. The Bible says no one can receive anything good unless it has been given by God. Unless it has come from God. You see, without that revelation of the goodness of God, we'll continue pursuing after things. We'll pursue after different things. Do you know that the pursuit of those good things is the root cause of all the rot that we find in our communities? A married man would want to have another wife because they think that if they can get another wife, they'll be satisfied. That is what is at the center of the corruption that we have. You've been given what is due to you, but you want more than that because you hope that if you get more, something will change in your life. The cheating that we find in our communities, it is driven because of that. It is driven by that whole issue of, I want to look for that good thing, that next good thing. This is the story of the church. Let's try and wrap this down. When Jesus was talking to the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman, he started saying things that are profound, and I want to just glean into that a little bit. John 4:13. This was after Jesus had said to this woman, can you give me some water? Can you draw some water for me? And she started making all sorts of reasons like, you know, how can I give you water? You are a Jew. I'm a Samaritan. There's no fellowship between these two nations. Verse 10, it says here, Jesus answered and said to her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that says to you, give me to drink, you would have asked of him and he would have given you living waters. When you do not have a revelation of the capacity that Jesus has to meet your needs, you will not place a demand on Jesus. When you do not see him as El Shaddai, when you do not see him as able to meet your emotional need, you will put pressure on your husband to meet your emotional needs, which could only be met by God. We mistake people for God. But when you understand that this need can only be met by God, you go to God and you get your needs met. Verse 13 says, Jesus answered and said to her, whoever drinks of this water shall thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Whatever gains we get will never satisfy. But when we eat of Jesus, when we drink at the feet of Jesus, we will be satisfied. Glory be to God. There is a lot that I wanted to teach, but because of time, I want to stop there. I want to stop by saying to you, when Jesus passed under the tree, the sycamore tree, the Bible said he noticed Zacchaeus. He looked up and he said, Zacchaeus, come down. Today I want to dine with you. It doesn't matter where you are, Jesus will find you. He will identify you. He will meet your needs. He will meet you at your point of need. Because Zacchaeus was so driven, was so determined to meet Jesus, Jesus did not deny him that opportunity. He looked up the tree. It was not a coincidence. It was not by chance. It was destiny. In the heart of God, God knows what you're going through. And there's no situation that eludes him. Sometimes we think God does not see. Yet he sees. He saw Zacchaeus. He could have just walked past that tree, but he could not. When you decide today to seek God, he will not ignore you. He will not leave you out to dry, but he will meet you at your point of need. Today, you and I need to ask, Lord, meet me at my point of need. Whatever need that is, he is able to meet up with you. He will say, today, I'm coming to fellowship with you. Today, I'm coming to spend time with you. Do you want to spend time with me? Do you want to spend time with Jesus? Because if you want, Jesus wants that. He says in Revelation chapter 3, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and they open up their hearts, I will come in and I will dine with them and them with me. This is the portion for every child of God. Jesus is waiting. But are you open to fellowship with him? I want us to pray right now for ourselves and say, Lord, we want you. We want you in this season. We want to press into your presence. Lord, we want to be with you, Lord. We want to experience your glory. I want you to tell him, Lord, in this season, we want more of you, more of your glory. Come on now, open up your mouth and say, Lord, more of you, more of you, Lord, more of you in this season, Lord. Lord, your people are burdened. Lord, your people are burdened and there are chances that they will start pursuing and running for opportunities to cover gaps in their lives. But I'm asking today, Holy Spirit, that you'd overshadow them with your glory. Brood over them, Lord, like a hen broods over her chicks. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray that you show them a glimpse of your glory right now. In the mighty name of Jesus, as a church, Lord, we want your presence. We want more of you. We want to hear you, Lord. Come and do what you alone can do in this season. Holy Spirit of God, we pray that your presence would pursue us in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, we thank you today for this word. Lord, I pray that as your people go home today, that there's a stirring up in their hearts, Lord. There's a hunger and a desire for more of you, especially in this season. In the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. Amen and amen.